This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli of TVWorthWatching.com, sitting in for Terry Gross. The 2007 movie Once, which told of young musicians in love, introduced a song called Falling Slowly. It was sung by the film's two stars, Glenn Hansard and Markita Irglova, who also performed it at that year's Oscars. They had fallen in love while making the movie, and at the Academy Awards, they won for Best Original Song. The press embraced their love story as a sort of real-life fairy tale, but it wasn't happily ever after. Shortly after the Oscars, their romance dimmed. But their friendship and their musical partnership did not. Hansard and Irglova continue to make music together. Their band, The Swell Seasons, has just released a new album. It's called Strict Joy, and here's the opening song called Low Rising.
I wanna sit you down and talk. I wanna pull back the veils and find out what it is I've done wrong. I wanna tear these curtains down. I want you to meet me somewhere tonight in this old tourist town. And we'll go low rising. Cause we've gotta come up, we've gotta come up low rising. Cause there's no further for us to fall. Low rising. Cause I feel I've had enough. And we're low rising. Oh, for the love of you.
The movie Once presented Glenn Hansard and Markita Irglova as characters whose pasts closely resemble the people who play them. He's a street musician from Dublin, and she's a recent immigrant from the Czech Republic. They meet, share a love of music and performing, and find themselves connecting both musically and personally. Glenn Hansard also is known for his work in the band The Frames. The writer and director of Once, John Carney, used to be in The Frames. Terry spoke with Glenn Hansard and Markita Irglova last year. They began with the big song from the movie, Falling Slowly.
Glenn Hansard, Markita Irglova, welcome to Fresh Air. Congratulations on the Oscar and all the success you've had with Once. You co-wrote Falling Slowly. Had you ever written a song together before writing for the film?
No, that was actually the first song we wrote together. And it was one of those things where I'd been working on the song and I wasn't really sure where I was going with it. All I had was, you know, it was the verse and I had an idea for the chorus. And it was only when I sat down with Mar and I played her the idea because I was talking about a harmony in the chorus and she said, well, what if you take the lower one and or you take the higher one and I'll take the lower one and, you know, on the moment where it goes, we've still got time. And she and it was, for me, that was like the key of what made the song suddenly work. And then so I wrote the chorus with Mar and then I really felt like we had a solid song in our hand and it was something that I could give to John and feel confident with.
Markita, you were cast before Glenn was. How did you get the part? You hadn't acted before.
No, well, John Carney, the director, approached Glenn about this, you know, as you know, about the idea for this film. And throughout the years, they'd met many years in cafes over teas and coffees and discussed the idea of the film. And when the project was getting closer to happening, John said to Glenn, well, you know, the only thing is I have Cillian Murphy for the male part, but I can't find a woman for the female part. I have trouble finding this woman because I want it to be an Eastern European woman who can sing and play piano and act. And, you know, would you know any people? Because you travel a lot. And Glenn said, well, yeah, I know a girl from Czech Republic, and she does play piano and sing, and I'm sure she could pull off the acting, but the thing is, she's only 17, and John was looking for a 35-year-old woman originally. And so John kind of thought that 17 years old was too young, but he decided to meet me anyway. And so I just got on the plane to Dublin from Prague and met John, the director, and just kind of played a few tunes on the piano for him, and that was my audition, really. He didn't get me to read any lines or anything. He just cast me right then and there. And that was it. I was part of the project.
You were 17 when the movie was shot?
Yeah.
Wow, that's right. You don't look it. You really look older in it.
I know, it's funny. Even now people meet me in person and they tell me I look much younger than in the film, and it's ironic because I'm now older than I was in the film. So it's a funny thing.
Since neither of you were really actors when you started making Once, although Glenn, you had a part in The Commitments as a member of the band, did you go seeking advice from people about how to act or how to behave in front of a camera? Did you just learn from doing it? And if you got advice, like, what's the best thing that you were each told that actually helped you?
Well, the thing that I was told, and I can't remember who told me right now, somebody said to me, just remember that Marlon Brando was always Marlon Brando. He wasn't, like, the reason people hired him to be in films is because he was Marlon Brando. I kind of like the idea that no matter what character you're playing, no matter whether you embody it or not, and there are many different styles of acting, of course, there are many different styles, but this was the thing that I always, that resonated with me most, was the fact that just be yourself and embody the character. And I think that for me, that meant that my range as an actor was probably quite limited. And let's face it, I was pretty much playing myself in this film. I am a street musician. I was a street musician. I fixed bicycles and not Hoovers. John changed that detail, I guess. When I went to the bank to get my first loan for the frames, the bank manager took out his guitar and played me a song. So there are many details in this guy's life that are very similar to my own.
I want to play a scene from the beginning of Once. And this is a scene where, Glenn, you're playing on the street for money, but no one's paying any attention to you at all. And until, Marchetta, you walk over and start asking him questions about himself and the music. Here's the scene.
This song you just played, you write it?
Working on it.
It's not an established song?
No, it's not an established song.
How come you don't play during daytime? I see you every day.
You know, during the day, people want to hear songs they know, just songs that they recognize. I mean, otherwise, I wouldn't make any money. I play these songs at night. They wouldn't listen.
I listen.
Yeah, but you give me 10 cents.
Well, you do it for money, then? Why don't you get a job in a shop?
I have a job in a shop. Listen, I'm going to get back to this, yeah? Nice to meet you.
Who'd you write this song for, please?
No one.
Where is she?
She's gone.
She's dead?
No, she's not dead. She's gone.
You love her still?
Jesus, man.
You're over her. Rubbish. No one wrote this song is over her. I'm telling you. You play this marvelous song to her, you get her back.
I don't want her back.
Glenn, you started out off as a street musician when you were in your teens. You dropped out of high school to play on the streets. Where did you choose to play? Like, what was a good street for you in Dublin?
Well, for me, Grafton Street was a bit like in Dublin, if you can imagine, if you know, the microcosm of your life, I suppose. For me, I lived on the north side of the city. So Grafton Street was on the south side of the city. And that for me made most sense, because it meant that I wouldn't bump into anybody from school, and that I wouldn't bump into any of my mother's friends, or my mother indeed, because my mother was a fruit seller on Moore Street, which is on the north side of the city, and I wanted to get as far away from anybody I knew as possible. So I went over to Grafton Street, and also Grafton Street was kind of the more posh part of Dublin, so the chances of me having a career or getting beyond just being a street musician were, I had better chances, if you like, on the south side of the city, because that's kind of where all the artists lived. And you know, so I went over there, and it was a great, for me, it was the beginning of a whole new education. I mean, I left school at 13. I went over there. The day I left school, I went busking. And what started was I met a man who sold magazines on the street. His name was Pete. And Pete was he prided himself on the fact that he was a Dylanologist. You know, he loved Dylan, loved everything about it. Yep. And because I was such a Dylan fan, this guy took me seriously, because I was playing Dylan songs that weren't necessarily the ones from the greatest hits record. And so this guy was took an interest in me, and I guess took me under his wing. And I remember going and living with him for a while, and he took me around to like poetry readings. And pretty much from there on, I remember meeting this lady, Philippa Garner, who was a kind of a famous painter in Ireland. And she took me out to her house in Kildare, which was in the countryside. She lived in an old converted schoolhouse that she had rebuilt. And I went and lived with her for 2 years. And really a whole new education began. I remember staying at Seamus Heaney's house when I was a kid, and getting to hang out with poets and other musicians was really the basis of my artistic beginnings.
So what's the best thing that happened to you on the streets?
Well, for me, I guess, overall, it was my education. I learned how to sing on Grafton Street. I learned how to entertain. When you're on the street, you're a still point. You know, you're part of the architecture. You're a still. And if you stand still on any street in any city, in any country in the world, if you stand still long enough, every single person in that city will pass you by. So, like, you know, I'd be busking and Van Morrison would walk past as I was singing a Van Morrison song, or, you know, Bono would go by. Or,
is that true?
You know,
really?
Absolutely.
Okay, so Van Morrison was walking by. What do you do? Do you say, excuse me?
Not at all, no. With someone like Van, you would just give him his space. I mean, and actually, ironically, the reason I guess he was passing by was because myself and my friend were busking together, and we were singing Van, because Van songs are amazing to busk. So one day we were busking, playing one of his songs, and he passed by. But actually the irony was that we were busking enough money to go see him that night. So actually we ended up busking up enough money to go see him. And the same thing happened to us with you too. We were busking up the money to go see them one time, and we saw them the same day, which is very interesting.
So Glenn, when you dropped out of school at the age of, what, 14, so that you could perform on the streets, what did your parents think of that?
Well, I'm very lucky in that my mother... Again, my mother was very, very liberal. She grew up in a very, very tight household where she had to be home at a certain time, and that, you know, she had 12 brothers and sisters, and I guess if the family had to keep everybody from, you know, herd them together, I guess, if you like. So my mother grew up in the 60s, you know, and so during that time she wanted basically to give her kids the freedom that she never had. So my mother was like very, very liberal. She said to me, anytime you need, you know, if you want to, you know, when I came home to her and said, Mara, I really want to do music, my mother just said, well, do it then. And she said, well, do it, and if you're going to do it properly, so go, you know, go and earn a living from it and do it and getting really involved in it. So I was lucky. And my dad was, my dad was one of those guys who was, he worked hard, but he was a hard drinking man and supported us in whatever we wanted to do, but didn't really play much of a role in our lives except to say, yeah, fair play to your son, go for it. You know, so my dad was, I guess was on board with it too. I was very, very lucky. I mean, my headmaster in school, my head teacher, he was a great guy. I was in his office so many times. And we talked and talked, and I guess he was a smart guy. He figured out that music was the one subject I really enjoyed talking about. And because he was in his spare time, he was a DJ. And so myself and himself would talk about Dylan and Cohen and Neil Young and all the stuff that really impassioned me. And he basically said to me one day, he called me down to the office and he says, Glenn, you know what? You're in this school, you're not learning a thing, you're frustrating all of the teachers, and I know you love music. So I have an idea. Why don't you go, take your guitar, go over to Grafton Street or go to any street you want, but start your musical career at the very bottom today. He said, you know, go and, you know, take your guitar out. And if in a year you're not enjoying it or it's not working out for you, come back to school and I'll figure out a way of getting you back into class and you can continue your education. He says, but I don't think that your education is going anywhere. He says, you know, he says, you can tell me all the musicians who played on John Wesley Harding, or you can, you know, you can tell me who produced the first two Leonard Cohen records, but you can't tell me the square root of nine. And he says, so you're not really very good to us here, and I'd like to see you succeed. So he sent me home that day to take my guitar and go to the Grafton Street. And when I went home, I said to my mother, I dropped my school bag in the hall and I said to my mother, Ma, I'm gonna start my career as a musician. And my mother was like, what, really? And I was like, yeah. She says, well, go for it, son, and good luck.
That worked out. And Marquetta, how did your parents feel when you, at the age of 17, took a break from school, left home, went to another country to make a movie?
Well, first of all, like Glenn's parents, my parents are very liberal themselves. So they, you know, it's not like they ever restricted me much in you know, whatever I wanted to do. But I guess there was, you know, they were always concerned ever since Glenn came into my life as a musician who left school at 13. You know, I think they were always concerned that I would just forget about school and try walk in his footsteps. And they were only concerned about that because they wanted me to have something to fall back on in case music didn't work out or something, you know. But at the same time, I think I was always, I always had a very good sense of that if I was quite sensible at home and if I didn't get into too much trouble, then I'd have that freedom because they would trust me and they'd kind of know that I'll be all right on my own. And so I stayed out of trouble and I did all my homework in school. And for that, I had the freedom to travel and miss out on school at times. So it, you know, was great. And they did, and they're, my parents are very supportive, you know, so they would have never kind of stood between me and my dreams or anything like that. So I'm very thankful to them for that.
I want to ask you about another scene from Once. There's a great scene in what I think is a pub. It almost looks like a living room, but I think it's actually like a small pub. And everybody's kind of eating dinner and drinking. And the rule of the game here is that you have to be able to sing to be in on this dinner. And people just kind of alternate singing. And there's a kind of middle-aged woman and a middle-aged man, or slightly older man, who sing a few bars in this sequence. And they have really interesting voices. And I was wondering, like, who are they? And is this based on a real pub in Dublin?
Well, actually, that room is where me and Mara live.
Oh!
And because we didn't have money to hire a venue, we decided to have a party in our flat.
No wonder it looks like an apartment. Okay.
Yeah, so that's our place. That's where we live. And also, the guy I was telling you about earlier on, the first person I met, the Dylanologist in Grafton Street, that's Pete, and he's the guy who sings.
Oh!
And then the woman who sings is my mother.
No.
Yeah, that's my mother, Catherine. So, and again, how we did it was, instead of trying to hire a room and put lots of extras in it, we just threw a party and invited all our friends over and filmed
great.
It.
I really liked her voice. You know, there was something vaguely Marianne Faithful-ish about it.
Yeah. Oh, well, interestingly,
the older Marianne Faithful.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, Marianne Faithful used to live in that flat also, which you might have somehow picked up on. Yeah. We're very lucky in that we live. One of the other people that I met when I was younger was Marina Guinness, who's part of the Guinness family in Ireland. And like, Ireland doesn't have royalty, but if we did have royalty, it would have to be the Guinness family, because they're such a strong and powerful family in Ireland in a very nice way. And of course, we all admire them because we drink their product constantly. It's an amazing thing. So, but I'm really glad you pointed out the guy and the woman, because the guy is the guy I was talking about, who took me on board, and I spent a lot of time with him when I was younger, and of course, my mother.
Now we have to play that scene.
Great to see you here. Can you sing? You can't sing, you're out.
There's one request I'll ask of you when your liberty came. Remember Mitchell far away, a convict bound in chain.
Mine that once held this heart of mine.
That's a scene from Once, which stars my guests Glenn Hansard and Marquetta Erglova, who are both musicians and songwriters who are performing together. Did your mother sing a lot when you were growing up?
Yeah, my mother sang constantly when we were kids, my father. My mother used to win, like, she won a bunch of competitions when we were kids, you know, in pubs and, you know, my mother, of course, never took singing as seriously as, say, I did, but, you know, and my father. My grandfather was an opera singer, and my grandfather sang I remember my great-grandfather sang in the same competition as James Joyce and beat him, apparently, in an opera. competition a long time ago. So music's definitely been in my family.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for talking with us, and congratulations on your lives together and on the success of Once and your music. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Glenn Hansard and Markita Irglova speaking to Terry Gross last year. Their new album as the band The Swell Season is called Strict Joy and has just been released. I'm David Bianculli, and this is Fresh Air.